On a scrubby, isolated stretch of the Stuart Highway, 20 kilometres from town, sits the maximum security Alice Springs Jail. It is far from the community, far from families, surrounded by kilometres of sandy desert country. Inside this facility are four men who have not been convicted of a crime because they were deemed unable to plead.
These people are being detained under legislation that is meant to protect them. In May, we spoke to Mark O'Reilly from the Central Australian Aboriginal Legal Aid Service. He spoke about one of the men he represents.
He was assessed as being unfit to plead and ultimately found by a court to be unfit to plead, and rather than being sentenced to a term of imprisonment, was placed under what's called a custodial supervision order under the legislation, and he's still in jail. That's about 5 years ago now. The people who do the assessments accept that prison's not the ideal place for him. The courts have made comments about how unsatisfactory it is that prison is the only place option that they have to send him. The Crown don't think he should be in jail. We clearly don't think he should be in jail. The problem is that there are no resources in the community that are appropriate to manage people with his kind of disability.
So prisons, as the last resort, is the only resort.
Yeah, well, that's how it's working at the moment.
At the time, the Law Report indicated that a High Court challenge was being prepared in relation to indefinite detention in Northern Territory jails. We can now reveal the nature of that challenge. A barrister and professor, Patrick Kayser, is director of the Centre for Law, Governance and Public Policy at Bond University. He's part of the legal team that are issuing that challenge.
The Northern Territory government has failed to provide a secure psychiatric facility for these gentlemen and has generally failed in their duty of care to people with mental ill health who are unfit to plead to in criminal proceedings.
And in one of those cases, a man currently held indefinitely, Kerry Doolan, he's been in jail for over 4 years now. The court made the point that Mr. Doolan has a special status as a supervised person and must not be treated as a convicted prisoner.
Yes, that's right. Unfortunately, it appears that the government's in breach of that order.
And I guess the question is that could be asked is, can a prison not be punitive but therapeutic?
Well, this is a question that the High Court considered some years ago in a case called Farden and the Attorney General of Queensland. In that case, a number of the judges held that a person can be detained for non-punitive purposes, and of course the detention of people who have communicable diseases or who have mental ill health and are at risk of harming themselves or others is well known to the law, but it would be a new development in Australian constitutional law if the High Court was to uphold the detention of people in prison who had not previously been convicted of a criminal offence.
And in another case, Christopher Leo, who's been in jail indefinitely since 2007, and he was found unfit to plead on a charge of aggravated assault. He's got a number of serious health and behavioural issues, including, I think, an acquired brain injury, alcohol-related dementia, epilepsy, cognitive impairments, liver disease. And I think in the review of the case in 2009, the judge acknowledged that prison wasn't the right setting for Mr. Leo, but there had been some efforts there in the prison for some therapeutic plans, including, I understand, a correctional officer receiving special training.
Yeah, well, that's correct. But the fundamental issue, of course, is that these men shouldn't be in the prison. That's what the legal action's about.
You're drawing, I understand, on a very famous case, Cable versus the Director of Public Prosecutions in the 1990s. Can you just describe the facts of that case briefly and how it might be relevant?
Back in 1994, the New South Wales government passed a piece of legislation called the Community Protection Act. When it entered the Legislative Assembly, it was legislation that was directed at prisoners generally, and it authorised the Supreme Court of New South Wales to order that a person convicted of a crime could be re-detained in prison if they would represent a danger to the community if released. When that legislation got to the Legislative Council, it was amended so that it only applied to a particular named prisoner named Cable. There was a constitutional challenge to the legislation, and the High Court struck it down on two grounds. One was that the legislation singled out Mr. Mr. Cable, and the other was that a person ought not be punished in a prison unless they'd been found guilty of a crime.
Now, he had been found guilty of a crime and had served his sentence, but this was a preventative detention that they were challenging.
Yes, that's right. Now, in the later decision of Farden and the Attorney General of Queensland, the High Court held by majority that preventive detention in prison is constitutionally allowed, but a number of the judges placed strictures on that availability. One of the issues that this case raises concerns people, of course, who haven't been previously convicted. The legislation that was upheld in Farden's case, the Dangerous Prisoners Sexual Offenders Act of Queensland, is legislation that is directed to people who've previously been convicted of sexual offences. The difference between that situation and this is that these men haven't been found guilty of a crime.
What about the suggestion of a limit to the time served in detention for people found unfit to plead but who may be at risk of harm to themselves or others?
Well, look, the critical thing is to ensure that people are in a therapeutic environment. It's conceivable, of course, that some people need to be in a therapeutic environment indefinitely. That much can be conceded. Different people have different needs, but the sole emphasis needs to be therapy. And I don't think there'd be any doubt in people's minds that prison is a punitive environment and is inappropriate for people who haven't been convicted of a criminal offence.
The Northern Territory has a very high level of incarceration in terms of its population, and it must be said, mostly Aboriginal Australians. And new facilities are about to be opened, which will provide secure housing, including a new mental health facility in Darwin. There is recognition at all levels of government and efforts, really, to address this growing problem.
That's so, but these measures need to be expedited, and in my personal opinion, we should never have been in this predicament in the first place.
So if the High Court agrees with your claim, what then?
Well, the Northern Territory government, we'd anticipate that they would take swift steps and make arrangements for the housing and accommodation of these men in suitable facilities.
And that is a distinct problem, isn't it, in the Northern Territory? There's currently, almost any day now, some new secure facilities are to be opened, but they're still within the prison system.
Yes, the question, the broader questions of the demand and need are really outside the scope of the proposed litigation in a sense, but certainly our reading of the situation is that there's more demand than supply when it comes to these facilities, and that's something that the Northern Territory government and other state governments around Australia need to address as a matter of great urgency.